Did you know there is no hunger in America? Now, there are still 33 million people who don't have enough food to eat. We gave 1,000 families groceries this last month over at the food pantry. There are children who cry every night because they're aching bellies. And there are elders who have found out that cat food is just about as nasty as they expected it would be. But the federal government eliminated hunger as a category. Now there are simply people who have low food security. I think that's pretty wonderful. You can just eliminate hunger by a bureaucratic stroke of the pen. Low food security. They're not hungry. We should do this with a lot of other things. Sickness. Sickness. People aren't really sick. They just have a low health index. War. There's no more war. There are just violent confrontational situations. I don't know. Maybe we can do away with poverty too while we're at it. You know, this people who have negative income situations or racism. There aren't any racists. They're just people who have a very low tolerance of cultural difference. See, doesn't matter what you are as long as you name it properly. Think how that would work in your own life. You know, you blow the rent at the casino. You just can tell your landlord, well, I'm having a temporary monetary deficit. You didn't do your homework because you were out partying. Just tell the teacher. Don't worry about it. We have a situational awareness of different priorities. Or your boss. Don't want to go to work? Just tell him, well, we have temporarily decided to rest. See, doesn't matter what the reality is. Just call it something different. Or not. Because I don't know if that would work all that well. I don't know if your landlord or your teacher or your boss would buy that excuse. I don't think it would work. There was a movie a few years ago. Now, I have no idea what the movie was about. I never saw it, but I love the title. Reality Bites. Reality Bites. And so no matter what you call things, no matter how you name them, reality bites. It doesn't matter what you call poverty when you're hungry. It bites. It doesn't matter how you think about racism when people are ugly and hateful. It bites into your very soul. It doesn't matter what you think about or call the illness you're going through. It bites into your very self-esteem. And I think that helps us understand this gospel passage that we heard today from St. John's Gospel, where Jesus and Pilate are having this conversation. Because what's going on is that Pilate is like any politician, just trying to name things in a way that he can handle. And Jesus is trying to get him into reality, into what's really going on, into what bites. So the conversation, you know, are you a king? Well, are you saying this of your own or somebody told you about me? Well, I'm not a Jew, am I? Well, I am a king. And Pilate says, well, then since you are a king, I kind of know about you, right? I know about you. And Jesus says, well, no, you really don't, because king, the way you use it, isn't what I mean. I'm talking about a king who witnesses to the truth. So they're talking at cross purposes. Pilate's trying to to fit Jesus into some nice convenient box where he can understand who he is. And kingship is an idea that he has. You know, I know about kings. I know what kings are like. You know, they're about power. They're about prestige. They're about prominence. And so if I can figure out that this Jesus fits in that box, then I'll know how to handle him. But Jesus resists Pilate's tendency to prejudge and to dismiss him, and instead says, no, the reality is different than your preconception. The reality is I'm not about power. I'm about love. I'm not about prestige. I'm about sacrifice. I'm not about prominence. I'm about service. And so the reality of the situation kind of spins out of Pilate's control. He never quite gets what Jesus is about. He ends the passage, our passage today, ends before the next sentence, which is Pilate saying, well, what is the truth if you're here to testify to the truth? And that is a big question I think we are dealing with in our contemporary world. We live in this world where fake news is the buzzword of the hour. And we have comedians who talk about truthiness. We don't have to worry about the truth anymore. We have truthiness out there. But Jesus is here to testify to the truth. And so if we're going to understand who Jesus is, then we have to wrestle with coming to the truth, to the reality that bites. And maybe the way to do that is to remember back to the olden days when there used to be newspapers. When a reporter went out, the reporter was given a job to get to the truth. And the way you can get to the truth is by asking who, what, when, where, and why. Those five W's, right? And so you could look at the story and you could know the truth because you answered those five questions. And so maybe we can use that technique to help us to come to the truth that Jesus is talking about today. So who is the one who testifies to the truth? Who is the one whose kingdom is not of this world? Who is that Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who is and who was and who will be? Who is the Son of Man who comes in the clouds of heaven and has dominion over every people, language, and way of life? What do we understand by the truth? What did the angel say about that child who was born of Mary 2,000 and some years ago? What is the name above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend and every tongue confess that he is Lord? What a friend we have in Jesus, all our griefs and ills to bear. Who, what, when? When you're down and troubled, who do you turn to? When he calls, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for his name. When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me up and set my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Who, what, when, where can a couple trying to live their life in fidelity turn so that they can discover love for better or worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness or in health? Where can the young person turn who's looking for some direction and guidance in their life so that they will live a life full of joy and fulfillment? Where can I go when my heart is laden and heavy burdened and I'm at my last nerve? Why? Why do I have faith that the God who's brought me this far has prepared a place for me in glory? Why can I have confidence that even in the midst of my sorrow and sinfulness and inadequacy, that God continues to shower love unasked and unearned on me? Why do I believe that continuing to live with brothers and sisters to forgive and being forgiven by is the way for life? Why? I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why Jesus cared. I don't know why he sacrificed his life. Ooh, but I'm glad. I'm glad he did, because Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the King. Who is the one who brought me all the way? Who is the one who carries my burden every day? Who is that wonderful Savior? It's Jesus Christ.